Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a wonderful, wonderful hope for the child of God, the faith that we place in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're talking about the certainty of tomorrow. There are a lot of folks that are uncertain about tomorrow, what's going to take place and how the whole thing is going to wrap up in this old world. There are a lot of folks on the edge of the chair each day as we watch what's happening in the Middle East and what's taking place in relationship to the looming battles that's around the globe, and seeing what's happening in Russia and Syria and Egypt and Libya and Israel and China and Iran and Iraq, and the continuation of the deterioration in the Middle East. We wonder what's happening. Is this the end? What's going to take place? We're talking about today the chronology of what's going to happen in the last days. God's Word gives us the answer. It is the pre-written history of past, present, and future. With God, everything is the internal presence. And so God knows tomorrow's headlines in the newspapers around the world because He is all-knowing, all-seeing, all-powerful. He is God. And as such, we can place our faith and trust and confidence in Him through His Word. And one of the things that we need to understand when we think about the end times and the last days and placing our trust in the Lord is the fact that we're going to see the renouncing of the faith, the falling away, the apostasy. And the next thing after that is the rapture of the church. Dr. Phelps and I have been talking about that on this broadcast today. Dr. Phelps, we just got, before the news break, we're talking about the rapture of the church, and immediately following the rapture of the church would be the judgment seat of Christ, where believers are judged, not based on whether they're saved or lost, but their works are adjudicated as to whether they will pass the test. Dr. Phelps, there are a lot of people that are good people. In fact, I never will forget a number of years ago, if I can tuck this little thought in. A number of years ago, a renowned evangelist back in the 60s, so you can tell my age when I talk about that. Back in the 60s, he talked about in some of his preaching engagements, and I heard him preach a number of times. He said the church that he was in when he was an insurance salesman, that there was a red-headed, freckle-faced, long-fingered preacher that would preach, and he would point out to the audience and make a sweep across the audience with that long, as he called it, his long, bony finger pointing. So a lot of good people are going to die and go to hell. And so it seemed like every time he'd say that, the finger would point would stop at him. And he said he wondered if his wife had told the preacher something about him. And he was concerned because of that. But yes, there are a lot of good people going to die and go to hell. But Dr. Phelps, for those that are saved, that we really know Jesus is Savior and Lord, we may suddenly see you snatched out. That could be any moment. That could be any second. That could be that it's the imminent rapture, and that word simply means it could take place at any moment. And following that, ladies and gentlemen, our works. We're saved by faith, but we're to serve out of love. We're created in Christ Jesus unto good works, the Scripture tells in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. And as a result of that, we're to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't get saved because of our works, but our works validate and indicate our being saved and serving the Lord Jesus Christ. So we just finished talking about that. But Dr. Phelps, at that judgment seat of Christ, when Christians are judged, what happens then? I understand biblically, maybe we need to talk about that. What are the rewards? What are the rewards that the Christian can be looking forward to? And I think it's interesting and should be a word of comfort and encouragement to Christians to know that there will be rewards. Some call them awards, rewards. Some refer to them as crowns. And so what are some of those crown awards that we're going to get as Christians after we're snatched out of this old world in the rapture of the church, Dr. Phelps?
I have learned that the Scriptures teach of five possible awards or rewards that we can win. One is the crown of life. That's a reward for those who will endure temptation. Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he's tried or tested, he shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Another crown is the crown of righteousness. Paul talked about that in 2 Timothy 4:8. That's a reward for those who love Christ's second coming or his appearing. And the third one is a crown of rejoicing, 1 Thessalonians 2:19. It's a reward for those who win the lost to Christ. And a fourth one is the crown of glory. Peter the apostle talked about that. It's a reward for feeding the flock of God. That is, doing what God tells pastors to do, to nourish the people of God with the Word of God. And a fifth reward is the incorruptible crown. It's a reward for running the race faithfully.
Running the race faithfully. In fact, Dr. Phelps, as I think about those crowns, in fact, 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, verses 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, dealing with the pastor, it says, shepherd the flock of God, which he's given you charge over. The word shepherd in the Greek text is poimanai. It means to lead, to feed, to guard, to guide, to comfort, to care for, to correct. And all of those are the charge responsibilities of the pastor in the church when he's pastoring according to the Scripture. And the Scripture says that he will receive that crown of glory. Yes. And I don't know about other pastors that may be listening or that you are familiar with your pastor, but there's no greater joy for a pastor than to know that God has something special planned for his faithfulness in preaching and teaching the Word of God and serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. But Dr. Phelps, there are some other things that will take place. And ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the chronology now of these end time events and the fact that as we study the Scripture, we can have certainty of tomorrow. And we can have that certainty because the Word of God tells us. The Word of God gives it to us. He shows it to us. And we're talking with Dr. Neil Phelps. Dr. Phelps is theology and Bible professor at Conservative Theological University. And ladies and gentlemen, you can join in this dialogue and discussion. Perhaps you have questions about your salvation. Perhaps you have questions in relationship to what you need to be doing as a saved person. Perhaps you have questions about the things on the calendar of God as far as the chronology of events in these last days. You can dial 831-0917, 831-0917. That call gets you directly through to our studios and right to our microphones so that we can have dialogue and discussion with you. We can answer your questions. Be delighted to do so. This broadcast, this program, is designed around the Q&A format where you can ask the question. We give the response. You can join in the dialogue. As one caller put it on one time, I wanted to put in my 2 cents worth. So you can put in your 2 cents worth today if you'd like to do so. Dialing 831-0917. Dr. Phelps, following the Bema Seat judgment or the judgment seat of Christ where we are awarded or rewarded based on the different crowns that God has for the differing Christians. What takes place next in the chronology of events after the rapture of the church and the judgment seat of Christ?
We believe that the marriage supper of the Lamb is the wonderful future time when God's beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, will be the bridegroom and the redeemed church will be the bride. Revelation 19, verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. So at some specific time after the rapture, the church will be presented as the glorious bride of Christ. By the way, that's mentioned in chapter 5 of Ephesians. An event when the Bible says that Christ will present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So this is talking about the redeemed bride of Christ will be married to the Lamb.
And Dr. Phelps, I find it fascinating when you see that because there are so many that disavow and disbelieve in that what we call the marriage supper of the Lamb. But in Revelation chapter 19, if my memory holds correct, it's about verse 7, 8, and 9. That would be referring to it, yes. That's the redeemed. That's where the where we have the joy of being seated around the table with the Lord Jesus Christ and that celebration of the union of the bride and the bridegroom, where Jesus Christ is the bridegroom. And we, the church, we, the believers, are the bride that will celebrate with him. But Dr. Phelps, a fascinating thing that most people do not recognize in the study of the book of the Revelation, for example, that in the book of the Revelation, it is the apocalypse, the unveiling, the revealing of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, I've said for many, many years in preaching through the book of the Revelation, the book of Revelation is all about Jesus. And that is true. But ladies and gentlemen, when you study the book of the Revelation, you'll see events taking place in heaven and then events taking place on earth. It is a going back and forth all the way through
the 22 chapters of Revelation, with seen in heaven, seen on earth, seen in heaven, seen on earth, sewing together that chronology of events. So, Dr. Phelps, while this is taking place in heaven, where we've had the rapture of the church to take place, the Christians are snatched out of this old world, suddenly seized. We go through the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema Seat Judgment, as it's called, and then we have the marriage supper of the Lamb, where we're celebrating around the table with the Lord Jesus Christ. While that's taking place in heaven, what's taking place on earth, Dr. Phelps?
I speak of it as a righteous judgment of God upon the world. Throughout Scripture, it's mentioned as the tribulation, or the time of Jacob's troubles. And Jesus predicted that time, the time of the tribulation, upon the earth. And I'm going to read for you a passage found in Matthew 24, verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. Matthew 24 and verse 1. The future seven-year tribulation will be a time of offenses, betrayal, and hatred. During that time, false prophets will deceive many people. Some of the evil things Jesus spoke about include war, famine, pestilences, and earthquakes. While the redeemed bride of Christ, the church, will be with the Lord in heaven, those who dwell on the earth will face the wrath of God. Some of the ways the future tribulation is described throughout the scriptures is the day of the Lord, Isaiah chapter 2, verse 12, the time of Jacob's troubles, Jeremiah 37, the hour of his judgments, Revelation 14, 7, the tribulation. And that's talked about again in Matthew 24, verse 21, 29, etc. And also it's called the great day of his wrath, Revelation 6, 17.
Yes, when we talk about the tribulation and the wrath, Dr. Phelps, let's talk about something that our listeners, I'm sure, would be cautious, concerned, and care about. Multitudes preach and teach that the Christian will go through the tribulation, that the rapture of the church will take place after the tribulation. There's a pre-trib, a post-trib, a mid-trib philosophy, or ideological bent, theological persuasion, and we don't have time to get through all the minutiae of that on this broadcast. We can at another time. But let's talk about the fact that the tribulation is the wrath. The word wrath is the word thumos. It's the white-hot anger of God. Share with us some scripture about the wrath of God. And then let's talk about the reason that we can be assured that the Christian will not go through any part of the tribulation. There's some that want to argue and bewail the fact that the pre-tribulation rapture, that we in the pre-trib rapture position, that we're wrong, that the Christian's going through the tribulation. The Christian's going to face the wrath of God. Speak to that question, Dr. Phelps, because I believe we got a lot of listeners today that think that they are going through the tribulation and need to be prepared. I know we'll forget. One of the fake, false, phony teachers back in the 80s is now back on the microphone coming out of California. And Jim Baker's promoting the purchaser of canned goods and sea rations. It's the Wise Food products. And he's soliciting people to buy those that they will be storage. You can store them for up to 25 years. And he's talking about even where you can buy a log cabin package and you can build a little log cabin up in the mountains and you can have your sea rations and your log cabin up in the mountains so that when the tribulation comes, Christians can rush to their secret hideouts and be away from the tribulation days, be away from the wrath that's being poured out, and be away from the Antichrist that'll be ruling and reigning then. All of that, ladies and gentlemen, is pure, how would you say, false teaching. I wanted to use a Greek word. It's called hogwash. But anyway, it's simply not going to be that way. But Dr. Phelps, tell us about that. Why is it we can be assured that the Christian will not go through the wrath of God, the tribulation? Why is it we will not be here then?
We believe that God is not angry with those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, but he is angry with the wicked. The Apostle Paul wrote to the people at Thessalonica, the book that tells us a lot about the second coming of Christ, in every chapter, in fact. And he commended them at Thessalonica for having turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Verse 10 in chapter 1 says, "And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." In chapter 5, he says the same thing. "For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, as also we do." We believe that the resurrection of life is the hope of believers in Christ, and we're not looking for such things as the tribulation as believers. We look for the blessed hope in Christ, not for the Antichrist. We're waiting for God's Son from heaven, not the son of perdition. We're looking for the Savior, not the man of sin. Christians are waiting for the redemption of our bodies, not the wrath to come. Believers are listening for the trump of God, not for the trumpet of judgment. We anticipate the coming of Christ, not the end of time. Our focus is upon the Redeemer, not the enemy. In Christ, there is hope for today, hope for tomorrow, and hope for things to come.
That is a good summary overview of that. Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. God's not angry at the church, the Christian. His anger, wrath, thumos, the white-hot anger, was poured out on Jesus Christ, God's Amen. Son, God incarnate, on the cross. That enmity between God and man has been mediated through the shed blood of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross.
Amen.
So don't you dare think for one second, if you've said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord, that somehow, some way, you'll be left here to go through the tribulation. Some preaching and teaching that you'll go through all of the 7 years of tribulation. Others saying you go through 3.5 years of tribulation. It's the mid-trib wrath, pre-wrath. They're saying the real wrath is the last 3.5 years, et cetera, et cetera. They're dissecting and hair-splitting theological dogma that is not biblical, ladies and gentlemen. So you can rest assured, you can have all of the hope and the trust in the Word of God that you'll not be in the tribulation to come. Dr. Phelps, speak to the issue and for our listeners' edification today for just a moment. When we talk about the rapture of the church, we're already out of here. Works have been judged at the judgment seat of Christ. We celebrate the marriage supper of the Lamb. While on earth, we have the tribulation taking place. That's a 7-year period of time, ladies and gentlemen. Time won't allow us to get into the differentiation and the validation of that biblically on this broadcast. But the 7 years of tribulation is taking place. Who's going to rule and reign on the earth during that time, Dr. Phelps? Who's in charge of this old world after the rapture of the church and God's thumos, his white-hot anger, is being poured out? By the way, there's another text that I think that we overlooked. In Revelation 3:10, it says that we'll be kept from the wrath to come. Is that what the Scripture says?
The Bible tells us that you and I can hope for the coming of Christ very soon. But the Scriptures also talk about a promise that's made to those of the Church of Philadelphia. We believe that's talking about the true believers.
Yes.
And the promise is, "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth."
Literally, come on all the world of those that dwell upon the earth. It's talking about you look at the literal Greek text, it's talking about the earth dwellers, that is those that are lost people, and we're going to be kept from, and that word kept from is the little word ek. Ek means out from. It doesn't say you can be kept out from a part of, kept out from a day or two, or kept out from half of the tribulation, but kept out from the wrath to come. And it's talking about the tribulation, the days of the tribulation. But Dr. Phelps, that tribulation that's taking place on earth will be God's judgment meted out to those that are the Christ rejectors, the God haters, the Bible deniers, and it'll be carried out at the hands of the Antichrist. Speak to that for a moment. We just have a few minutes left on the broadcast. Let's speak to that for the balance of our time today. Let's talk about the Antichrist, what he will be doing, and what the Scripture says in relationship to that one that will be ruling the earth. And, of course, God's still in control. Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. When the Antichrist rules and reigns on this earth, I won't be here. You won't be here. We're already gone. We're snatched out, suddenly seized. We're out of this old world. But the Antichrist will be ruling and reigning. But Dr. Phelps, there are a lot of people that think that, well, I'm just going to wait. I'm not going to say yes to Jesus. I'm not going to get saved. And if these conservative theologians, if these conservative preachers, if those that are preaching the literal tribulation 7 years, if they're right when the church is raptured out, then I'll get saved. Dr. Phelps, is it possible for a person that refuses Christ now, when the rapture comes, can that person say yes to Jesus Christ? Is it possible, or will he have failed to be obedient at that time, and it'd be too late, too late, too late?
Yes, we believe that the book of 2 Thessalonians gives us a lot of answers to those kinds of questions. We believe that after that the rapture takes place, then there's going to be a time on the earth when everything is going to be dark, everything is going to be controlled by the man of sin, not the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll be with Christ in heaven. The church will be with the Lord while the earth dwellers, the unsaved, will be going through a time of tribulation, time of hot anger from God. But someone asked me, how do we know that the rapture takes place before? Mm-hmm. And I answered them by reading 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Here's what it says. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. That sounds like the rapture to me.
That's right.
That you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed. Now, I've just read the first three verses. So we understand the order of things there, the rapture, and then we see this time of ruin that's coming.
Mm-hmm.
The rapture takes place, and then we see that there's a falling away. This is the apostasy. People are abandoning the truth. They have abandoned the Word of God. Many people have turned from the Scriptures to believe the lie. See, we can either believe man's lies or we can believe God's truth.
Right.
And this man of sin is going to be revealed. That won't happen until the rapture takes place. After the rapture,
yes.
Then there's the man of sin, the Antichrist, and it says that he will oppose and exalt himself above all that's called God or that is worshiped, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Many other words you're talking about that time, but that's not going to happen until after the rapture. So there's this revealing of the man of sin, the wicked one, and this one who's coming to deceive. Now, people think that they can wait till then to be saved, but you see, when he comes, he's going to come with power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. It's not likely that a person who rejects the gospel today will be of the mind to turn to the Lord after the rapture.
Yeah, that's right. In fact, you can go throughout the book of the Revelation. You find, Dr. Phelps, that even in the days of the tribulation, when God sends causing 100-pound hailstones to fall on mankind, man will look up to God, shake his fist, and curse God.
But Dr. Phelps, there's a wonderful wrap-up of all that we want to talk about today. And let's touch on that briefly before we close today. And that is the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. When it seems as though everything is for naught, when it seems as though the nation of Israel, the Jewish people, will be annihilated, when it seems as though there will be the total crushing of Jerusalem and all of those that are Jewish people, Jesus Christ will return from his throne in glory and return to this earth and will win the final battle, the final war, will be won by the Lord Jesus Christ. Tell us a little in our closing moments on this broadcast today, Dr. Phelps, about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ and how that is so fitting for the completion of our study today.
Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, starting at verse 29, immediately, I repeat, Jesus said, immediately after the tribulation, the heaven shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. We're taught in the scripture that Christ will return to earth in the same manner as he ascended to heaven, Acts 1 and verse 9 through 11.
Yes.
The Bible tells us that Jesus was literally taken up into heaven, so his return to this earth will be literal. The disciples beheld as Jesus was taken up, so his return will also be visible. Since we believe in the bodily resurrection and ascension of Jesus, we know that he shall return to earth bodily. This same Jesus who was taken up into heaven shall so come to earth personally, since his ascension took place at the Mount of Olives, we know that his return will also occur at the same geographical site.
Yes.
According to Zechariah 14:4. And the two men in white apparel were celestial messengers, angels, whose appearing to the disciples meant that the second coming of Christ will also be supernatural.
Yes.
As the fulfiller of all the promises of God concerning the Messiah, Jesus' return to the earth will be scriptural. So, believing the prophetic word, we know that the star upon the stage of things to come is this same Jesus.
Absolutely. So, ladies and gentlemen, that wraps up what we're talking about, and that's full circle. We understand the certainty of tomorrow because it's Jesus Christ that we place our hope and our trust and our confidence in. The scripture says in Luke 21:28, look up, lift up your head, for our redemption draweth nigh. Thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.